have a couple seated together, a grandfather and a grandmother, seated together at their kitchen table, discussing what they should buy as a graduation present for their grandson, who's graduating from college in the next couple of weeks. And so they're discussing the various possibilities. One says maybe we should buy him a pair of shoes. Shoes are very important. Everybody wants shoes. But they say, no, that's not really going to convey what we're trying to do. It's not going to make him feel special enough. It's not going to tell him how proud we are of him. How about groceries? Milk, eggs, apples. Same problem. No, we want something that's going to tell him that we think he's terrific. Everybody gets milk and eggs and groceries. Okay, so how about a kayak? How about a drone? How about a Tesla convertible? Hey, now you're talking. How about a gold watch? That's very nice. Okay, yeah, now we're on the right track, because those are things that are going to convey honor, dignity, status. That's what we want him to feel. Okay, now we have some good ideas down on the paper. Right as they have this paper with certain things crossed out with X's and certain ideas circled, there's a ring on the doorbell. Go to the door. And there's somebody standing there. And he's holding a tu'udah that authorized him to collect money for tzedakah. He says, I'm collecting for a poor man. Myself, I'm the poor man, and I need money. Maybe you could help me. And these grandparents are very kindly people, and they say, yeah, what do you need help with? And he said, I really need a Tesla convertible. You know, it conveys status, dignity. That's what I need. So they politely close the door on his face. They're not interested in helping out with that particular tzedakah tzairach. Before they get back to the table, the doorbell rings again. Somebody else comes, standing at the door with a similar tu'udah. I'm collecting money, I'm very poor. They say, what do you need? He said, I don't have money for shoes. I don't have money for groceries. And so the grandparents take out their checkbook and write a very nice check to help him out. They're moved because they haven't met him before, but they really want to help him. They move to write him a check for all the things that he needs. These are two different types of matanos that are mutually exclusive. One is a matana that's given because of ahava, and one is a matana that's given because of chemla. And it's almost completely exclusive of one another. The matanos that work when you're trying to convey ahava are things that would never be forthcoming out of chemla. Chemla means compassion. And the things that you give out of chemla just don't do the trick when you're trying to show somebody ahava. So I heard a horror once from Meir the Rabbi of Shalom Spitz that in the Birchas Kriya Shema that we say each morning, the bracha, which is the Birchas Atayra, would be an ahava rabba ahavtanu, Hashem Malikenu, chemla gedoyla chamalta oleinu, and gave us the Torah. So we describe the Torah as being a matana that's motivated by ahava and chemla. There is no such thing as a matana that's motivated by ahava and chemla. And yet the Torah is described in that way, meaning what it seems to say is that the Torah is something that without it, we'd be like Nebuchadnezzar, the person who has no shoes and has no money for groceries. Like Rabbi Akiva told Tapas Ben Yehuda that a yid without Torah is like taking the fish out of water. He can't live. It's the most essential necessity of life. Without that, he has nothing. He's the worst Nebuchadnezzar. And yet, with Torah, that's chemla. Chemla motivates the matana that Hashem gave us, the matan Torah. And yet, when we have Torah, so does that mean then, oh, so then we have shoes on our feet, we're able to walk, we have money for groceries, it's like the fish who's floating in water? Yes, but far beyond that, we say that it's somebody that's Isaac v'Torah, is Nikra Reya, Ahu, it's Merimamtoi, Mugadaltoi, Al Kalamasim, it's on top of the world. It is no greater status and prestige. There's nothing more high class than, you know, where when you have, you're surrounded by people who are living in, you know, a lower class existence, in that they're just concerned with the mundane, with the physical, and somebody who has Torah is walking above all of them because he's involved in the Dvar Hashem, he's connected with the Bari Olam. It's, he's elevated above the whole world. That's the ava in the matan of Torah. The absence of Torah is like the abject desperation, the chemla, and the presence of Torah is the merimamtei megadaltei al kol masim. It's the gold watch, and that is the symbolism of Sfiras Ha'omer. The mitzvah of Sfiras Ha'omer is counting from, again, from Pesach to Shavuos, but the way the Torah describes it really is that it's counting from the Minchas Ha'omer to the Minchas Shtei Alechem. It's not just the way the Torah describes it. Tosfos says that's the whole mitzvah. When you don't have those karbonos, you don't have a mitzvah. Nowadays, so we'll have the mitzvah of Sfiras Ha'omer again. We don't even have the mitzvah nowadays, midereisa, because the mitzvah is to count from this karbon to that karbon. To count from the karbon ha'omer, which is different than almost any other karbon that was brought in the Beit HaMikdash, in that it was brought from barley. It was brought from Michael Behema, animal food. It depicted Klai Yisrael having come out of Mitzrayim, where, right, the way other nations describe, would define their, the birth of a nation, we got our liberty, we got our independence. No, the Torah says at that point you could think of yourself as a donkey that's eating out of a trough. It's Michael Behema, Sa'irim. That describes where you are with just Chayrus but without Torah. And then on Shavuos, again we bring a mincha, which is different than almost any other mincha that was ever brought, because almost every mincha in the Beit HaMikdash was matzah, but the Shtei Alechem on Shavuos was chametz, meaning it was enriched. It was more delicious. It was more elevated. It was the mincha that conveyed that we didn't just reach a baseline, but we reached something much. We've achieved status. We've achieved something great that elevates us above the ordinary, like the Shtei Alechem that's above ordinary karban mincha. And these two karbanis, each one by itself is an interesting picture, but the two together show a metamorphosis. The two together show the transition from somebody that has nothing, that isn't even on the Madrega of a Ben Adam, to somebody who's gone way beyond the Madrega of a Ben Adam, and now he's on the Madrega of the Malachi Asharis, that he's being Isaac with the Rabbanu Shalom, and he's being Nana from the Zivah Shechina. And that metamorphosis, we're working on every single day. There's a 49-day process of getting from the Mincha Sa'irim, the Maichal Sa'irim, to the Shtei Alechem, which is the Chametz, and envisioning this metamorphosis that the Torah gives for us, the two roles that the Torah has for us, the Ava Rabba and the Chemla Gedola, that are included in the Matan Torah, and in 49 installments, we're supposed to contemplate that those two images, the difference, the change, the metamorphosis, so that hopefully by the time we get to Shavuos and we've completed the mitzvah of the Sheva Shavuos and we're now at the Chag HaShavuos, we have an appreciation of what the Rebbeinu Shalom did for us, what he gave us with the Chemla Gedola and with the Ava Rabba.